Our second speaker, we will have Niecy.
I'm Niecy and I'm an addict. Derek's talking about following the speakers. Okay, so the readers. I have to follow the readers and I have to follow Derek. Housekeeping stuff, I want to thank this convention, Miracles Beyond Measures, for thinking of me. Truly honored. I kept asking him, is he sure too? I tried to get somebody else to take my place. But you know, today I try to accept what God does for me, not to me. And so when I was asked, I knew that I needed some help. You know, anytime somebody asks me to show up, I know that God is just trying to help me, you know, in spite of myself. And the second step came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. You know, this is such a powerful, I know I probably said it all this stuff. This is such a powerful step because after the first step, it's like, now what, right? The drugs are gone. And now what's going to happen to me? Yeah, they took away all my drugs, my toys, everything I was. And I knew that something was wrong with me. I didn't know what. I don't know if y'all remember, but when they told me I had a disease, I was like, what? You know, I'm my first treatment. You have a disease. The disease of addiction. Actually, it was a bit of a relief. You know, it gave me an answer because I didn't think I was such a bad person. Some of y'all know me. I'm a good girl. You know, that's my story. I'm a good girl. So I just did not understand why I was doing the things that I did. You know, why did I tell my husband I'm going out to the store and don't come back for 3 or 4 days? You know, leaving him home without son and just not going to work, not calling in, it just was unbelievable that I was behaving in this manner. So after I found out I had a disease, it did give me an explanation. I still needed some hope, you know. I still needed to know what to do about it. So when it got to step two, and I thank God for the process, you know, and even though I didn't know the process, y'all knew the process, right? So y'all said, get in service. They gave me things to do. I thought it was because, you know, I was smart and I was capable. They were just trying to keep me in my chair. You know, don't go anywhere, Niecy. He didn't do this. So I was really grateful for all the things that people gave to me, the service work that people gave to me early on. You know, they said get a sponsor, and I did that. You know, the suggestion of get a sponsor is so powerful because what it says to me is that don't even think, you know, just do it. Don't try to make any sense of it. Just do it. So getting into the process and getting to step two was really helpful for me because it helped to center me enough and to remember the relationship that I had with God before I even start acting like a crazy person, right? So I had some resemblance of what God could do for me. So when it talked about restoring us to sanity, I was so hopeful of that because of the behavior that I had. But, you know, when I think about the damage that I had done, I knew that it was something that I was willing to try anything. You know, towards the end of my addiction, it wasn't the end, but it was on my way to stop using, right? I had been gone for a few days. I had taken my husband's car. This is insanity. An example of insanity. I had taken my husband's car. We only had one car at the time. And it just blows me away even when I think about some of this stuff. So, he decided to come looking for me this time, right? I had been hanging out in this house that people get high in all the time. I think y'all saw the crack house. I been hanging out in this house. So somebody said, I was upstairs in one of the bedrooms hanging out, And somebody said, Niecy, that's your husband coming. And I was like, my husband? What in the world? He had never came after me before. And so I said, okay, hide me. And they hid me up these, we were already in the bedroom, so in the closet it was some steps that led up to this little crawl space. And I had the nerve to get in there. I got in there. And next thing I knew, my husband was opening up the door. You know, somebody snitched on me. Somebody, look, I couldn't believe they snitched on me, to be honest. They cared enough about me, you know, to tell my husband, look, go in there and get your wife out of there. Jesus. You know, so I needed some help with God restoring me to sanity. I knew that I did not want to go back to that kind of behavior, you know. And I know that the God, they said, a loving, kind God, you know, and I know that having a relationship with God is a personal experience. It's a personal relationship for me. You know, so I needed a God that would love me in spite of that stuff. You know, in spite of the things that I did, the things that I thought, and love me enough to give me the help that I need, even at times when I was in such deep denial about who it was that I know today that I wasn't a good girl. Good girls just don't, you know, do those kinds of things. But what happened to me, you know, what happens to a lot of us, I believe, is that when we are using, we're stripped of some of those core values that we grew up with. My parents, you know, they gave us everything that we were supposed to have, you know, to grow us up to be responsible, productive members. You know, so being restored to sanity also for me is not just before I got here. You know, it's the story after I get here. The times in recovery where I lose my mind, you know. I remember a few years ago. Look, I'm going to tell the cleaned up version. I'm not going to tell the X-rated version because I know straight up. I went through a period, this is my disease, I went through a period where I didn't think that I wanted my husband, my house, we have a beautiful house. So I didn't think I wanted those things. I thought that if I got rid of those things, that I would be okay. You know, that I would be happy. Lord, you know, the first step talks about when you first get into the first step, they say the healing begins. And I don't forget at a meeting years ago, I shared, and one of my friends told me after I shared that the healing process had not started. And so during this time, I think it was like 12 or 13 years ago, it still seems like recent. I guess because it's just still right there. You know, it's still such a learning process for me. I embraced it because I learned so much from this experience. I didn't think I wanted my husband, my house. I wanted to change everything on the outside of me. Sold my house, separated from my husband, 6 months into it, looked up and wondered, how in the world did I get here? You know, I had been sitting there reading the Triangle of Self-Obsession, where it talks about little group of children, where children that just don't want to grow up. You know, don't want to accept the meaning of the word no. You know, just don't want to live in a reality. You know, when there's a baby and they have a lollipop, if you take the lollipop away from them and the baby starts screaming and crying, I want that, I want that, that's who I was, right? So, I just, being restored, you know, I just thank God for the process and for God being, for my God, that's my high part, my God, for Him being who He is to me, because in spite of all that, losing my mind, my house, realizing that after I gave away all those things, I was still the same person. You know, but I'm telling you, that's a gift that God gave to me. The insight that He gave to me, telling me, Niecy, look, all your solutions are on the inside. They're not on the outside. There's nothing that you could get rid of on the outside or obtain on the outside to put a fix you. You know, so I always know today it's an inside job, Niecy. You know, if you're looking outside of yourself, you're looking in the wrong place. You know, and I know that today. You know, and it's a process. It's a process of the stuff. The people in my life that tell me, they say, you lost your mind. You know, but I know that we all have to go through what we have to go through. You know, and today, this is such a, you know, when I think about that lesson that I learned about, I can't have everything that I want. I mean, really, why am I at my age just learning that? You know what I'm saying? Why did I just learn that, like, 12 years ago? It doesn't make any sense. But you know what? It's okay, because what has happened is, you know, we were reading in the literature opening up, it talked about that hard-won experience, right? And I'm telling you that the peace and the happiness, first of all, I can identify happiness today. One of my friends also told me, you don't know what happy is. You have everything that you want to feel, and you still say you're not happy. You know, so today I'm better at identifying what my happiness is. And I can say that I'm happy today, and I'm not giving it away for anybody, even in spite of me, because I learned some things. You know, so I'm going to hold on to my happiness. What I was alluding to is that I paid a high price to have the peace that I have today. You know, if you see me, people are saying, you're so, I have sponsors that have chosen me because they say I'm peaceful. Most of them, people that ran with my sponsees, right? So we're like, they're like off the chain, and I'm the peaceful one. But they are just such loving, kind people. God, I always say, God, oh, I know how God loves me because of the people that he put in my life. You know, but I just know that the peace that I have, I've worked so hard for, you know. I have paid some prices. I'm not willing to pay any more than prices for the peace that I have today. I'm not going to do it. If I make any mistakes, just like somebody said, let it be a new one. Okay, let it be a new one. Because them emotional, spiritual, financial prices that I paid, you know, to be where I am today, I'm not giving up. And this program is just such an awesome program. I love that name, Miracles Beyond Measures, because it affords us the ability to do whatever it is we want to do. We put the work into it, you know. And I have so many people in my life that I admire and aspire after to be, you know, like them. There are things that I admire about people that I can say, God, I want to do that too. I want to be like that too, you know, and work on that. So I think I can talk about the group conscious, the second tradition. So, for the group's purpose, right? That's what it talks about, for the group's purpose, not my purpose, but for the group's purpose. And groups have a tendency to take on the personalities of members, right? And so, this is the funny thing, is that when I used to think that group business meetings and committee meetings, they were going to be run like the meetings that I have at work. You know, just real organized and peaceful and kind of. And I can tell you that one of the skills, look, let me tell you this first. My sponsor, she told me, because look, she said I was an addict with no skills. I used to hang with my brother because he needed, like, somebody to drive. That was my skill sponsor. I didn't know how to steal, you know, or hustle, or, you know. I went to try to, look, I don't think I ever shared this. I walked in the middle of the night, going home, and everything was gone. I didn't want to go home, so I saw this guy. It was a phone booth there. I saw this guy at a phone booth, and I got out of my car and walked up to the phone booth and asked this guy, did he want to go? And he said, go. He said, go where? I mean, he told me. So, you know. But I don't know. So, anyway, a skill that I have developed this program has been a point of conflict resolution. I think I've become very good at conflict resolution. The key is not to get pulled in easy. It takes two to fight. Don't try to out-shout anybody, out-curse anybody, you know, don't try to outdo anybody. But the one thing that I do know that has been helpful for our group, and we have some very strong personalities in my home group, is that we do invite in God at the beginning of the meeting, and we close with God at the end of the meeting. And we know that we accept that we have some very passionate people. They're not evil, Nisi. They're very passionate. They're not crazy. They're very passionate people who care about what happens in our home group. And I learn a lot from these people. These people, I'm telling you, I grew up in my home group. And I'm very thankful for my home group. So, you know, I think that everyone generally has the group's best interest at heart. And that's what I try to remember. And I think that that's what this tradition is about, you know, to help remind all of us that we all have our group's best interest at heart, and to take us out of it and keep God in it. You know, so I just, again, is my time up? Not yet. Well, I don't have jokes, so, I just want to say in closing that, you know, we always talk about it's a process. It's a process. You know, I wish I could. I remember my clean day, May 16, 1989, and my husband first asked me, okay. When I was first introduced to this program, he asked me, did I have to go for the rest of my life? And I'm just thankful that y'all told me that I just had to go today. So that's what I told him. I said, I just have to go today. That's all. And I've been going ever since for 25 plus years. And I can tell you today that my husband is very grateful, very happy that I've been going to a meeting regularly all these times. You know, the one piece I think I left out, I'm not sure if I said it, but, you know, when I was restored to sanity, you know, when I gave away my husband and my home, God gave it back. You know, I just need to share that. And I can tell you that. And it wasn't cute. You know, I asked him. I went to him to ask him to take me back, and he started to grill me with all his questions and kind of. And I answered his questions because God told me about humility, right? And then he said yes, and then he about a week later he called me up at work and pulled the rug from under me and told me he changed his mind. And it was right like a few days before Christmas, I'll never forget it. So what happened is one of you members told me that if I wanted my husband back, I had to be the best wife I could be without my husband. And I was like, are you serious? And she said, yeah, I am serious. If that's what you want, that's what you have to do. And that's what I did, you know, and it was like 5-6 months later that he called me up and told me he wanted to come home. I was so happy. I'm a crier. Y'all know that by now. But here's the thing, you know, this is the therapeutic value of one addict helping another. I share that story. I've helped other women with their marriages, you know, and it is just such an awesome thing. And I used to think that I couldn't share those kinds of things about me. Y'all give us permission to share everything that we need to share about it so that we can come in here and get the help that we need. And I just want to thank y'all for loving me no matter what. right? At my lowest, at my highest, in the middle. I mean, I just honestly, I'm grateful to this program because you truly have saved my life and my marriage. So thank you. Thanks for letting me.